flinging the green and gold worldwide on the web at syntechsportsfan.com. You're listening to the best of the John Moore Show here on ESPN Central Texas, the flagship station for Baylor Athletics.
Back with us, John Moore's show on a Monday, June 16th, and the date is important as we remember, honor, and celebrate Frank Fallon on what would have been his 95th birthday today. No better guy to do that with, and Pat Nunley worked with Frank right out of his playing days, walked from the floor. Aaron walked off the floor right to the broadcast booth, sat down, and he's been a pro ever since. Who could do that?
What a run.
Oh, my goodness. Who could do that but Pat Nunley? Hall of Fame career, and Pat joins us now. How are you, my brother?
I am terrific, thank you. And you know, all I can say, John, is I'm glad that there is no audio, no video of what you just described, because I'm not sure it was exactly that smooth.
The John Moore Show is brought to you by Amanda Cunningham, Coldwell Banker Apex Realtor. By Alliance Bank Central Texas. By Alan Samuels Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, your friend in the car business. And by D'Amore Fine Jewelers, 4541 West Waco Drive, where Waco gets engaged.
You know, he was just so good and so professional, and he represented Baylor so well. There couldn't be anybody any better than Frank Fallon.
No, there really couldn't have been. And John, he set the standard for us.
Yeah, yeah.
At least, I think about that a good bit. I still have notes that he gave me, just things to think about. And that to me was, and maybe I had to cross that bridge when he asked me to come help him. I thought a lot about whether I was up to it. And he put me at ease, got me comfortable with it. But it took me a long, long time to feel like I was pulling my weight on those broadcasts.
Now, from the Alan Samuel Studios, you're listening to the best of the John Moore Show here on ESPN Central Texas, the flagship station for Baylor Athletics.
Everybody, John Morris checking in from Dusseldorf, Germany, here with Baylor men's basketball playing as Team USA in the World University Games. And Team USA continues to roll. A win yesterday over Finland, most impressive. 102-83 was the final score. Team USA, Baylor, now 4-0 in the competition. That game yesterday was a quarterfinal game in the World University Games on the men's side. The win advances Team USA to a semifinal game. That comes up this morning against Lithuania, 10:30 Central Time, USA versus Lithuania. Streaming at BaylorBears.com/watch. If you want to tune in to Pat Nunley and I from Grugahall in Essen, Germany, we'll have the streaming webcast of that coming up this morning. But a big win yesterday for Team USA over Finland in the first game in the medal round. Again, very impressive offensively to put 102 points on the board. Leading scorers, four players in double figure scoring. How about Obi Agbum? He was 7 of 11 from 3-point range. Very impressive. 23 points to lead the way. Scoring 21 by Cameron Carr. 19 points on the day for Isaac Williams, the fourth, and he just continues to impress. He hit his first 9 shots from the floor. Of course, all 9 of those were layups because he's so quick, his defender couldn't stay between he and the basket. He finished 9 of 11 overall from the floor and 19 points for Isaac Williams. Then 18 in the game for Dan Skillings Jr., the University of Cincinnati transfer. He was 7 of 11 from the field. Actually, that was... No, that's right. 7 of 11 from the floor, 64%. 10 rebounds to go along with it. Skillings, the leading rebounder, a double-double, 18 points and 10 rebounds. So a big win for Team USA. A big part of that was rebounding and offensive rebounding and second-chance points. Baylor outscored Finland 24-9 in second-chance points. After the game, we visited with Bears head coach Scott Drew.
Well, I think this obviously was the best we played all around from the standpoint. You shoot 50% from three. And when you do that and defend in a way and crash the glass, second chance points 24-9 coming in the game. Finland had out-rebounded their opponents 40-17. So that was really good by us. And then we knew they're great shooters. They shot 38%. We knew if they got them up, they were going to make them. And we held them to 24 attempts. And I tell you, having the two bigs with five fouls, or five and four, really was a concern going into the second half. But I thought the guys did a great job. And then Sampson and Caden not getting in, Caden not fouling out, Sampson playing extended minutes with foul trouble.
Yeah. Caden got his fourth foul with 6.5 minutes to play in the third quarter and lasted the rest of the game.
Yeah, he did a great job, and I think a lot of that was the other guy's defense. A lot of times bigs pick up fouls, as you know. Someone gets beat, they come over to help. Someone gets an offensive rebound, they're underneath, they get jumped into, and it's a foul. So everybody did a great job protecting them.
Those second chance points, they were really big for you today, weren't they?
They're always big. So proud of that, and great effort on the glass. Dan with 5-0 boards, Caden with 3, and then a bunch of guys with 1. So, again, a lot of good things, and now we just got to keep building.
Isaac Williams hit his first 9 shots from the floor. He was 9 of 9 at one point, finished 9 of 11 with 19 points.
Well, first and foremost, I don't know how many assists, because you know it's harder to get assists and the way they calculate them. So he was 4-1. In the U.S., he probably had 7 assists. And I thought he really did a great job distributing the ball. And then he took the right shots on offense. He's been dominant getting to the rim and finishing, and hopefully that can continue.
Obi Agbum has been really consistent scoring here in this tournament, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's 7 for 11 from 3. He got great looks. His teammate got him great looks. Cam, 3 for 7. Dan, 4 for 5. JJ, one of our best shooters. The good thing is everybody wasn't on. You need somebody to be on for tomorrow. So the good thing is JJ will be on tomorrow.
All right, David Kay tells us you've got Lithuania tomorrow in the semifinals back at Gruga Hall, but you're in the semifinals. You're one of the final 4 teams.
Yeah, so I was just talking to the German coaches, and they'd beaten us in that scrimmage, and Lithuania had scrimmaged them twice before they scrimmaged us, and Lithuania beat them both times.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So Lithuania must be pretty good, and I know it's a country that loves their basketball, and I'm sure those guys played together for a long time, and as most countries have done, brought over a lot of 24, 25-year-olds, so it's a great experience for us.
Great. All right, that's the next challenge. You're 4-0, and let's look for number 5 tomorrow. Thanks, Coach.
Sounds great. Thank you, Baylor fans.
That is Scott Drew following yesterday's Team USA win over Finland here in Germany, 102-83, the final score. The other quarterfinal game, Lithuania beat Czechoslovakia 78-47. So USA versus Lithuania, that comes up this morning, 10:30 Central Time, and a tough matchup against a really, really good Lithuanian team. Every game gets a little tougher for Coach Drew and Team USA. On the other side of the bracket, Germany beat Romania, had to come from behind to do so, but Germany wins 78-62. Another really, really good possible opponent down the road. Brazil beat Korea yesterday, 99-73. So Germany plays Brazil in the other semifinal today here in Germany. On the women's side, by the way, Texas Tech is Team USA for the women. They won picked up a terrific win yesterday, 73-71 over Hungary. That was in the semifinals on the women's side of this tournament. USA will play in the championship game on Friday against China. China, an upset winner over Poland yesterday. Poland was thought to be the best team in the field, aside from Team USA, of course. But Poland ousted in the semifinals by China. It'll be USA versus China. That is Texas Tech playing as Team USA on the women's side. That championship game will take place on Friday after an off day today. So that's the latest from here in Germany as Baylor continues to play and play well and get better every game out. Again, our webcast's available at BaylorBears.com/watch. We'll leave things with Aaron Sexton in the studio for the remainder of the hour. Glad you're with us here on ESPN Central Texas.
Now, from the Alan Samuel Studios, you're listening to the best of the John Moore Show here on ESPN Central Texas, the flagship station for Baylor Athletics.
Welcome back to Dusseldorf, Germany, as we continue in the World University Games. Let's visit with, I'm going to say a busy man, Baylor's Director of Basketball Operations, Ty Beard. And it took me 2 days to sit you down for an interview because you're so busy. But safe to say, I think things are going very smooth, and you've done a great job setting things up.
I appreciate it, J-Mo. Thanks for having me on. And, things are going smooth when you're winning games. First three games, the guys have played great. I've really done well together. It's been good. It's a beautiful hotel we're staying in. You say Dusseldorf very well. You've had some practice.
Thank you.
We're all in this together, and everything's gone really well so far.
And you're right. Things really do go better and seem like they do better when you're winning.
Yes, that's 100% from a probably internal and external perspective. But it's been great. You know, the hotel we're staying at is a very high-end, five-star hotel. We're very blessed. And it's called the KO59 Hotel here in the heart of Dusseldorf, kind of by Old Town, which is kind of their hub of the city. And we're very blessed in that. We're one of the few teams that's probably in one of the nicer hotels as the games are very spread out through this region of Germany. And so to be the American basketball team, you know, kind of probably the team that everybody looks at the most, we don't take that lightly, but also just knowing that we're very blessed to have this space and to have it almost like a normal road trip back in the States.
Let's go back to the origins of this trip. This is not like a normal road trip, which you organize and set all those up. Usually they're 2 or 3 day affairs. But this one, 10 days for some of us, 14 days for everybody else.
Yeah, so it's. I was joking with Coach Drew last night. There are long-term rentals in the States that the lease would be up on in the amount of time that we are here. So, probably the longest road trip I imagine I might ever go on, or any of us might ever go on. Obviously, we went to the bubble and were there for a number of days, but that was a little different in that it was such a controlled environment with COVID and whatnot. Here, you're in another country, you're just figuring it out together. That's one area that I'm very blessed is we've got all of our managers and GAs, and we've got all of our coaches, and you're pretty much living together at this point. And so, yeah, there's a lot of logistics. FISU, who puts this on, who's kind of the international organization for collegiate athletics, has done a phenomenal job. They've got several sponsors who have helped them out. Nels Hawkinson, who kind of runs the basketball side and the USA side of World University Games, has been unbelievable. So it's been a really incredible experience. I don't know that even myself, I don't know if everybody knew exactly what we were getting into when we came over, but you get over here and you see all these different countries. We went to the opening ceremony, and we were in this holding zone with all these other countries, and then finally get to the U's, and you walk out on the stage to a full stadium, light shows, music. I mean, it was really, really, really it's about as close as it comes to being an actual Olympics.
Yeah. That's what they say, is this is second only in number of athletes, number of sports, number of countries involved. It's second only worldwide to the Olympics.
Yeah, no, it was truly, I don't know if anybody really understood. But you walk out on that stage and you walk across, and it's like watching the dream team walk across the stage. I mean, it's just something you never really pictured yourself doing. Yesterday was our off day, and we've been a lot of business around here, which is great, basketball. But yesterday we gave the guys a little bit of time. We took whoever wanted to go to the athlete village. So how it's set up, not to get too much in the weeds, but all the teams are at different hotels, every different fencing, rowing, or whatever, ping pong, whatever sport it might be, they're all at different hotels. But there's a center hub, an athlete village in Essen, Germany, and it's just this massive convention center as we have in the States, and it's just tons of gaming and all kinds of different things. But anyway, the ping pong, that's where the ping pong was hosted, the table tennis, as they call it. And it was incredible. Our entire team had a blast. Coach Drew and I tried our hand at a little table tennis, and it's different. It is different. We ran across the top 20 tennis ping pong player in the world, and it was really neat because it was a melting pot of different countries, and it was just a bunch of people who had a bunch of scenarios that our players and our staff aren't used to being in.
Yeah, what a cool experience for all of us, but for the student athletes especially, you know, at their age to be able to experience this.
Yeah, no, it was really funny. I think it was kind of went both ways. You know, I think a lot of the international athletes see our guys as these big, tall, long, athletic American basketball mm-hmm. players. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people know about American basketball. And so they're almost kind of celebrities walking around. But for them to be able to go and experience other cultures and other, you know, just the language barriers of having to try to communicate. And, you know, it's almost... it's a two-way street. Yeah. You know, it's really cool for them to see the big, tall Americans, but it's also really neat for our guys to be like, man, all of these countries have so many different, unique skill sets. I mean, there was fencing going on, and we're just watching it, and we have no idea what's happening. But there's a level of athleticism around the world that I think we probably take for granted in America.
Yeah. Give us a sense of what's been going on the last few weeks, really months, leading up to this trip.
Yeah, I think a lot of planning. I think back home for our team and for our coaches, the number one priority was the benefit of doing this was we got so many practices together. Basically started when summer one started in early June. And we're able to practice all the way up until the day we left on the 14th. And so that's something that we'll never have again. And it's a real benefit. And it was like real in-season practice. So it was really great for our guys to get that bonding time, for us to get the practice with them. We were able to do inter-squad scrimmages. We had our vets back. And then from a planning standpoint, I mean, there's obviously so much that goes into it. I think the thing that I learned about 2 weeks out, about the first, right after the 4th of July, is most of my work was going to be done at 3 a.m. in the morning. Obviously, there's a 7-hour time gap, so if you wanted to get a hold of somebody at the hotel, about 3 a.m. in the morning was the way to go. So several times, my wife Megan woke up and said, I heard the coffee going about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I tried to talk on the phone as softly as possible. So there's a lot of logistical things going on between the gear, the uniforms, managing flights, managing people, figuring out, hey, is there going to be food there when we get there? Obviously, we've got administration. We've got, you know, a group of donors here as well. It's been phenomenal. But then just our team. And so, yeah, it has been busy. It's been a different summer. But the truth is, I'm very blessed to have a lot of people around me to help.
Yeah. And that's all the pre-planning that takes place. Then you get here, and it's not, I mean, everything that you've set up is in place, yes, but there's something every day in there that you have to sort of adjust and make work.
Yeah, there is something every day. I will say the last couple of days, knock on wood, now that we've kind of into like the pure basketball side of it, it's a little bit more business as usual. But prime example, the first day we show up, we wake up the next morning and it's like, okay, it's time to go get a rental car. Well, I've never personally driven a rental car all throughout Germany. So that was kind of a surreal. You give them the car and I don't know what I'm renting. I don't know what kind of damage package I'm getting. We had a good time with it. And now I feel like we're pretty comfortable driving on the German roads.
So the Autobahn. You were on the Autobahn.
Yeah, we were. That's a different experience. We've got two bus drivers as well that help out. I want to give a shout out to Mike, our guide. So he's a part of the games and he's assigned to our team, but he's a former college basketball coach in the States and even at North Texas, so very familiar with us. But he's kind of my go-to. Like Mike, I'll ask him a question, he's already got the answer to it. So he's our liaison while we're here, and he's been unbelievable. And like I said, there's just so many people that have helped out, and it seems like if you can smile and work hard, it all kind of falls into place.
Well, you're doing a great job, and you've done a great job organizing, and it's really fun. Thanks for making things so smooth to this point, and let's keep wanting, and let's keep it as smooth as it can be.
Yeah, no, that's let's keep winning. That would be 1A right there, and then 1B here. I think we got three full days left, maybe 4.5 days, and so yeah, we'll start trying to win a gold medal and then get everybody home safely. But hope Baylor Nation's enjoyed watching our guys. I know it's been really fun. I promise you, I think we undervalued, even as a staff, the level of competition. Not the level of competition, but the level of competition that's going to prepare us for next season. I mean, this is super valuable experience for our guys. We're going to be light years ahead of where I think a lot of teams in the States are come September and October.
Yeah,
that's a good point. And we, Pat and I, like to remind people, this is not the full Baylor team. These guys are playing really well and coming together really well, but it's not the full team we'll see on the floor in the fall.
No, not at all. It is such a funny thing. I mean, you kind of got to balance that as a coaching staff, I think, of seeing what's out there now versus other pieces that will be in place. I mean, obviously, we've got our internationals, Tunde, Mayo, Bodo. Obviously, Mike Ritai is playing for the German team, so we scrimmaged him and hope to play him here in one of the medal rounds. But then you even add my man Samson from Yale, who is a player we picked up from Yale, who I know a lot of Baylor fans know now because of the games. But he's been a sweet kid. He's a great player. I mean, just fit in like a glove. But we know when we land in Dallas, on the 27th, Samson's from Lake Highlands, and he'll go home, and I don't know if we'll ever see him again. Hopefully he can come down and play in it. Well, you know, I think we should allow him to play in a vet scrimmage with us sometime for sure. He's been phenomenal and really has fit a need that we needed for this tournament.
Great. Well, great job. Thank you very much. Thanks for the time, and let's go win another game.
Like it. J-Mo, thanks for being here. Happy to travel abroad with you.
That is Ty Beard. He's the Director of Basketball Operations for Baylor Men's Basketball. And I'm proud to say my son-in-law. We'll be back in just a moment as we continue from the World University Games here in Germany.
Now, from the Alan Samuel Studios, you're listening to the best of the John Moore Show here on ESPN Central Texas, the flagship station for Baylor Athletics. It's a Throwback Thursday on the J-Mo Radio Show on the flagship station for Baylor Athletics, ESPN Central Texas. Now, from the Alan Samuel Studios, here's the voice of the Baylor Bears and 2024 Chris Schenkel Award winner John Morris and Aaron Sexton.
And welcome back on a Throwback Thursday. This is fun as we welcome in former Baylor quarterback headed into the Southwest Conference Hall of Fame. Jay Jeffrey is with us today. Jay, welcome to you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thanks for being on with us. Cozy up to that mic right there. Yeah. There you go. But thanks for coming in. And congratulations to you. What a great honor.
It's an unexpected honor, and it is an honor. And the way I look at it, it's very much a team honor. So it's an honor for our 1980 championship team,
yeah,
is what it is. And so because of that, you know, being the quarterback and being my brother Neil, the 74 championship team, and then the fact that we're going in together is a pretty special deal.
How about that? Both of you guys, I mean, every other school, I think, has one inductee. Baylor has two, and it's you guys.
That's right. And I think they had to actually call and get permission to do it.
Oh, really?
And, they were okayed because they thought it was a pretty neat deal, the brothers going in. So I think it's great.
It's nice.
It's a very special, unexpected honor for sure.
August 5th is the induction banquet at the Texas Sports Hall of Fame luncheon here in Waco. So really looking forward to that. When you think back on, let's go back to even your time before Baylor. Aaron said he was surprised to find out you didn't come here originally, even though your dad was here,
right,
and you had a lot of Baylor in your background. But you went to Missouri first out of high school.
I did. I grew up in Overland Park, Kansas, and was very heavily recruited in the Big Eight at the time.
Right.
Missouri, KU, K-State, and those are all kind of the schools Kansas City kids went to. And Missouri wanted me to play two sports, So it just was a natural fit, and Baylor had a couple of quarterbacks in-house, highly recruited kids that I didn't feel like I'd get the shot I'd get. And so I went up there as backup quarterback for 2 years to a guy named Phil Bradley.
I know Phil Bradley.
Phil was great, and we were good friends, and he eventually played baseball and went to Seattle Mariners, made the All-Star team 1 year. So that's who I played behind 2 years, and then I decided to transfer to Baylor.
Yeah.
was part of it originally that you wanted to play two sports? You wanted to play football and baseball?
I did. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And it's not that Baylor was against it. They just didn't talk about it much.
I got you.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So you finally see the light. You're coming to Baylor.
That's right.
Kind of written in the stars, but what was that like when you finally came to that decision?
When I made the decision that I was going to transfer from Missouri, and the reason I did, I felt like I'd beaten Phil out twice, and then went with him both time. And then after his sophomore year, he was second team All Big 12 quarterback. And so it was pretty clear that I wasn't going to be given the opportunity. So you had to sit out a year back then.
Mm-hmm,
so
it
was a pretty big decision. So when I made the decision to transfer, I was looking at all the different places to go and talked to Coach Taft. And Coach Taft said, Jay, when you get here, you'll be the sixth quarterback.
Wow, and sixth.
And I said, I don't have any problem with that. All I want is your word that after I beat everybody out, that I'll start. And because I'm going to beat everybody out. and he said, yeah, I give you my word.
Wow.
So and somebody's word means a lot. And Grant Taft.
Yeah, absolutely.
And keeps his word.
Yeah. He says it. It is gospel.
That's right.
You were six deep on the quarterback.
Six deep. There's no doubt about that. Yeah.
How about that? You don't lack for confidence. You had enough. You had enough confidence in your ability to come in and compete, and you thought you would compete well and earn the starting job.
Absolutely. And, you know, the fact that, you know, at Missouri, I was behind Pete Woods, who was an All-American, and Phil Bradley, and I felt like I was better than both of them.
Hmm.
And so I had played at that level and did play some. So I knew I could do it down at Baylor as well. So,
yeah.
You know.
So what was that like, the competition with that many quarterbacks? That's a lot. I mean, like now, you know, I would think we're two or three deep
right.
at quarterback. But you guys, what was that like moving up the pecking order?
Well, the first spring, we started with six
okay.
Quarterbacks. And then they moved Vic Vines and Scott Smith, the defensive back,
yeah.
pretty quick.
Yeah.
And so that took it down to four. And then it was Mike Brandon, me, and a kid named Jerry Deller that went down and started at Lamar, and Greg Wood. And
yeah.
so, and then Greg ended up not coming back. So it really came down to between me and Mike Brandon. And Mike started for a couple years.
Yeah.
And he had a great freshman year, actually. Took him to, I think it was MVP of the Peach Bowl the year I was ineligible.
Right.
So really good quarterbacks. But, yeah, it worked out.
It worked out well for everybody because Scott ended up being a great defensive
Absolutely.
Back. Vic was a great defensive
Absolutely.
Back. Was Van not in that mix? Was he not a quarterback also?
He was coming out of high school.
Yeah.
They moved him before I got there.
I got you.
Because we were the same age.
Okay.
That's
so
right.
he was already not on
That's
the quarterback
right.
list.
Yeah, he was already hitting people late from the secondary by the time I got here.
You got that right. Talking about Van McElroy, that is exactly right.
Yeah.
But just the way that they had just stockpiled, you know, quarterbacks.
Well, Grant Taft had an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah.
He figured who's the best athlete at most schools, and generally it's quarterback. And so he said, I'm going to recruit a bunch of quarterbacks, and we're going to find positions for them to play.
Mm.
And we had quarterbacks at receiver, defensive back, running back, everywhere.
That's really
And
good.
I mean, when you look at Alfred Anderson,
yeah.
you know, I mean, you just go down, Rusty Parker, Van McElroy, they're all quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So Tommy Davidson, I mean, you know,
yeah,
you go
that's
down.
True.
Yeah.
That's very good. Great approach and
yep.
Paid a lot of dividends. That 80 team, that 80 season to Baylor fans is something that we all remember very fondly. But y'all were so good across the board, offensively and defensively.
Absolutely. We were loaded
yeah.
on both offense and defense, and we knew it going in. We'd had that good year, the year I was ineligible in 79. We're very competitive, won the Peach Bowl. But coming back in this spring was just so competitive, and we knew we were going to be good. There was no doubt in our mind we were going to be really hard to beat. And we were.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but our defense was just loaded. Our offense was loaded. I mean, you look at the number of guys that played in the NFL, it's shocking
yeah.
off that team.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Walter Abercrombie, one of the great college running backs, and Dennis Gentry on the offensive side. We had first-team All-American and Frank Ditta. And you can go through and talk about all our receivers that played in the NFL with Radar Holt and Mike Fisher. But in our defense,
yeah.
Mike Singletary, one of the great linebackers in the history of college football
right.
and the NFL.
Right.
Van McElroy, just unbelievable. But there were so many great players.
Led the Southwest Conference in total offense and total defense. Now, think about that.
That's amazing.
And then your whole backfield, you at quarterback, Walter and Dennis, first team All-Southwest Conference.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that was huge, and I think it was deserved because our offense was hard to stop.
Yeah.
Running that split veer.
Won the league by three games. At that point, that had never been done before, so really ran away with it. I won't ask about San Jose State. We'll just skip right over that.
One of those things.
One of those days. But what a great season and a great memory, that 1980 season that culminated with a conference championship and a spot in the Cotton Bowl. I think I know the answer to this. You probably have a real fondness for the Southwest Conference, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and what a great history. And when you look at the schools, I mean, I don't even know a lot of the kids today even know who was in it.
Yeah, true.
But the fact all the Texas schools in Arkansas, I mean, that's, you talk about national powerhouses, all of them back in the day. So, and SMU was just a powerhouse.
Right.
You know, when we were playing in Texas and A&M and, so, absolutely.
Everybody was so strong. And it was so close. I mean, it was all in the state of Texas except for Arkansas. So, you knew everybody, you know. You played against a lot of them in high school, and then you played against them with your school in the Southwest Conference.
And in the 1980 season, which is interesting, we did not spend the night that entire season.
Is that right?
No, away. We played every game. We would just drive game day because we didn't play Arkansas.
So everybody else played
all year. We didn't spend the night anywhere.
How about that? Yeah. So that's wild.
And I think there's an advantage to that.
Yeah. And it doesn't happen today.
No.
Nothing close to that. Speaking of SMU, how about that SMU game and the comeback against the Ponies in 1980?
That was really a game changer for the season because when we went down 21-0, we went down 21 points when I threw a pick six. I read a blitz, and Radar runs down the field. He's wide open. And, of course, because they're blitzing, it's the cornerback as man. But he didn't run with Radar. Mm. He came up, and I threw a hitch. And I was just trying to avoid the strong safety who was jumping, trying to block the pass because he was blitzing. And he picked it off and took it back to the house. It was 21-0. That was the last play of the first quarter.
Wow.
We come out, we run three plays, and it's 4th-and-1 from our own 29.
Mm.
And we're behind 21-0 to SMU. Oh. We're ranked 6th. I think they were ranked 5th at the time. And Coach Taft goes for it on 4th-and-1.
Wow, from your own 29.
From our own 29, 4th down, we're down 21-0. And Walter, of course, goes over the top and get it. And we go down and score. And then we score right before half, and it's 21-14 at half.
Back in it.
And then they score at the early in the second half to make it 28-14. And then we come back and end up winning 32-28. It was truly one of the great games in the Southwest Conference history.
Oh, yeah, very much so. 32-28. It was, for the longest time, the biggest comeback in Baylor football history, coming from 21 down. Texas that year, you shut out Texas 16-0, and that lasted for a long time as the last time the Longhorns were shut out.
Yeah, that was a big game. It was rainy and kind of nasty. And they, you know, Texas back then, they were very simple defensively. They'd line up and just say, we're better than you, and we're going to play this man in the secondary, and we're going to play one base defense. I might move a linebacker down to the line or something, but very basic. And, you know, after the first quarter, it was 0-0, I think, at the time, and we just are talking on the sideline. We're better than these guys. We know we're better than these guys, and we should be ahead.
Mm.
And then Dennis breaks a long run, and we dominated the game. Cedric made a big interception down on the goal line. Final score was 16-0, but we wore them out. You know, it was very similar to the Arkansas game that we won 45-7. We beat Texas that bad, too.
Wow.
But the score didn't reflect it.
How about that?
Yeah.
Great win.
That's the way I remember it, but you know how that is.
Nobody's arguing with you. It's a great way to remember it 45 years later, right?
Yeah, that's right.
How about, this good question for you, Jay Jeffrey with us, former Baylor quarterback, headed into the Southwest Conference Hall of Fame. When you were playing here during your playing days, who would you have considered your Baylor's biggest rival?
Texas.
Okay.
It would have been Texas. And then it became SMU. Mm. It kind of happened. But that's who I would say.
You don't mention A&M in there.
I don't. We wore A&M out when I was there. So
Walter's story is he never lost to A&M.
That's right.
In 4 years.
That's right. That's exactly right. And but you know, they were obviously great. But I remember we went down and played A&M in that 80 season, and it was just torrential downpour. You couldn't even see the field. I could not see the secondary at some point. And but we won that game bad. I remember it was 45 to something.
Yeah.
But we had a good run against A&M.
Crushed them. What I remember about that, I was working at Channel 10 at the time, and Roy Cook, our beloved weatherman, had said, you know, pretty distinctly, no, it's not going to rain. Not going to have any rain down there. And it was a monsoon that day.
Yeah. Well, they, on one play, when it was raining so hard, they send a play in with me. It's a pass. And I can't even see the secondary, so I don't know who I'm going to be reading. And so we break the huddle, and I tell Raymond Cockrell, said, you run 10 yards and you curl, and I'm throwing it to you.
Yeah.
And he did, and I got the snap. The ball hit me in the chest because it went through my hands. It's raining so hard you could not see. And so I dropped straight back and was looking him off, and I turned and threw it to Raymond, and he caught it and picked up about 10 yards, and that kind of propelled us. And at that point, we really did. But it's amazing. In the second half, it kind of cleared up.
Yeah.
But it was a good day.
That's true. A very good day. By the end of the day, end of the game, it was sunny down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's right.
A monsoon earlier. And then to get to the Cotton Bowl, what a great accomplishment. And that's one thing I don't think people today can really appreciate. Getting to the Cotton Bowl as Southwest Conference champs.
Absolutely. Is an amazing thing. And when you think about it, the Cotton Bowl was one of the four major bowls.
Yeah.
And so many national championships were played there. So getting to the Cotton Bowl was a big, big deal. And it was a huge honor for, you know, to think in having not won a conference championship in 50 years and then winning two in a matter of six. It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, very cool. You played for Coach Taff, of course, and Cotton Davidson was your position coach. Don't we all just love and revere Cotton Davidson?
Cotton Davidson was amazing because he taught you the game.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy thing about Cotton is he would call plays, literally draw them up in the dirt. Mm. Of course, he was up in the box, but he would send the players in and say, call a play, and he said, Jay, I want you to look backside to Mike on a post. He would just say that. And so I'd say, Mike, you got to run a post. And he'd run a post, and I'd hit him for a touchdown because Cotton saw it. You know, that wasn't the route. He'd call a play, and then he'd have Mike run a post. So Cotton taught us how to read secondaries, how to do it. So great coaches.
Great. And with Coach Taff, I know you're a man of great faith, and you share that with Coach Taff. And I know there's been a great relationship through the years.
Absolutely. There is a great relationship with Grant Taff, and I love him dearly. And he has a great relationship with my brother Neil as well. And he had a great relationship with my father, who was president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and kind of knew Coach Taff before he was even coaching here at Baylor. And so it's been a great relationship, but there's few people on this planet that I respect more than Grant Taff.
Very nice. So what does this mean to you? Can you put into words being selected to the Southwest Conference Hall of Fame?
Well, it's a complete shocker. Walter Abercrombie actually called me, and Walter is one of my close friends, and we talked for about 30 minutes and finally said, Jay, you need to stop talking for a second. And I got something I need to tell you, but it was something I never expected. So it's an honor of a lifetime. And I felt the same way when I went into the Baylor Hall of Fame. I did not expect it. So it's an honor. And I'm so proud that the 1980 championship team and the guys that I played for and Grant Taff is just such a special group of guys. And so I think it's a great thing. And I think it's an honor for our entire team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, very deserving. Congratulations to you. Very happy for you. And appreciate the visit. It's very nice to see you.
It's great to see you, John. Blessings.
Thanks. You too. So the induction luncheon comes up on August 5th. It is at the Texas Sports Hall of Fame in Waco. They have tickets available now, 756. Let me get this right. 756-1633 or tshof.org/SWC. August 5th, beginning at noon, table sponsorships, other sponsorships and individual seats are available. It's a great class, Jay, that includes U.S. Reed, Arkansas basketball, Jay and Neil Jeffrey from Baylor, Margaret Kitchen Redfern, tennis player from the University of Houston, Wendy Wood Yang, tennis player from Rice, Ryan Berube from SMU, a swimmer, Kirk Dressendorfer, remember him, a pitcher for the University of Texas. John Thornton from Texas A&M, basketball player, coach, now radio broadcaster. Jamie Dixon from TCU, played at TCU. Now he's the head basketball coach there. And Lloyd Hill, the great receiver for Texas Tech. That's the class. You're in some pretty good company there.
Pretty good company, and I do think it's fair, and I want to make sure that I say that it's – the greatest honor is that I get to go in with my brother Neil.
Yeah.
Because Neil's my hero.
Ah.
And so he is a special guy, and there's nothing but good things about Neil Jeffrey, both in Baylor, in his life, in his ministry, and what he does. So that is the honor of a lifetime.
That's cool. And I would say the exact same about you, too. So very deserving for both you guys. Great to see you. Thanks very much.
You bet.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
Jay Jeffrey headed into the Southwest Conference Hall of Fame August 5th. Put it on your calendar.